Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Some dick I know says hello. Hello, how are you doing? Not much happening, but I thought we could just talk about crypto because I've been today transferring some of my Bitcoin to ETH. Not much. People were like, JF, how can you do this? People were very emotional about this today on Twitter, but I transferred less than 3% of my value into ETH because there's many reasons. First, I wanted to have a foot in the door so that if there's an attack on Bitcoin by the government and the attack happens to be specific and random and directed at Bitcoin, that gives me a quick way to swap, and I already have my cold wallets prepared, and so I'm ready to flee to ETH or flee to Bitcoin according to what happens in the news if there's a reason to run. Also, I think that ETH, you have to acknowledge it, is a more versatile technology. That is why you see the worst on the ETH chain. You see these shit coins rising on the ETH chain. But the fact is, the shit is rising there because that's where they can rise, because ETH has been designed to be welcoming enough to new advancements that you can start a coin on ETH. You can't on the Bitcoin blockchain, or maybe you can, but it's not going to be official. So in the long run, by principle, ETH is superior. I've always acknowledged this while also being a Bitcoin maximalist. I've always acknowledged that the technology is better. Now, there's a problem of fees with ETH, and some of it has been resolved. Today, I paid a $2 fee, and the transaction happened instantly. This can be resolved long term, and I know that like alternatives to ETH that basically copy the ETH code, but make it less costly, like BSC. That is very good too. And I think I should also have a share of BNB. I've not bought them today, but perhaps I should switch a part of my BTC to BNB too. I want to be able to enjoy this bull run comfortably and not be like, oh, maybe I could have made 10% more in ETH. I want to be a little bit everywhere so that I can rejoice when I see the news that the alt season grows and that Bitcoin grows and that BSC grows. I want to be happy about everything. Speaker's Corner says, Jeff, I am disappointed in you. It is centralized shit. I don't know that they've ever blocked a wallet. So as far as I'm concerned, if you're a chain that doesn't block wallets for the government, the particular structure of governance, I don't care that much. And at this, you know, let's just be clear, I still believe mostly in Bitcoin, and that's why I have the vast majority of my value in Bitcoin, but it's a very small share in ETH, because I think that the flippening will have to happen. Bitcoin cannot dominate the market forever, and I want to be slowly prepared for benefiting from this. They have blocked a wallet. One thing's back. Remember the DAO. DAO, ETH, blocked wallets. What was the DAO Act? The DAO was a decentralized autonomous organization on the Ethereum blockchain that suffered a source code vulnerability now known as the DAO Act. Well, I will have to read about this. I mean, if they've stopped the hack and they would have reverted it, I wouldn't be morally offended. You know, if it's really an illegitimate thing that was done and they reverted this illegitimate thing, I wouldn't take issue with this. Speaker's Corner says the flippening will have to happen, bro. Well, yeah, it's gonna have to happen. I mean, that is the nature of the walk forward of humanity. Nothing is forever. To be clear, I still have almost 99% of my wealth in Bitcoin. You guys, you're giving me trouble for 1%. 1%. But I want to see those. I want to see ETH rise eventually more. I mean, in the alt season peak, there might be more opportunities for money making on ETH than on Bitcoin. That is just how it is. Stephen Robinson says this happened to BTC as well when the chain had to be rolled back. Yeah, it would seem that in these cases of major stuff where they don't target an individual, but they target basically a community-wide hack, I'm okay with the chains doing whatever they need to do to restore fairness. I mean, so an interesting theory concerning the food debate, concerning the Schrodinger Karen, that came from a tweet in 2020. Some true 4chan genius pointed out that they think white people cook like this because the only time they get served food by whites is in public schools and jails. This whole meme around white people not spicing their food, when you think about it, because there is a relative natural segregation between white and black populations, it would make total sense that black people don't tend to be invited at dinner where proper spices are being used. So if black people, anytime they interact with white people, it's at public school or in jail, then they would develop the opinion that white people don't spice their food. I mean, they would get some unspiced chicken, some mac and cheese with no spice, some bologna and cheese with no spice. Imagine if that's all you see from white people is this. Of course, you would have the opinion that white people do not spice their food. I think it's a genius theory that might explain it all. That might explain why the meme is justified. It is justified, as Mark D says, by a simple bias. This is quite horrible. You know these reality TV shows about jazz and not jazz the music, jazz the transsexual child, and about all these operations that they do to change her sex. And now you have her parents discussing how to ensure the vagina remains a vagina, the vagina that they have, the artificial vagina that they have produced. She has to wake up her trans daughter during the night to insert basically a dildo, or else it patches up as an injury. Like, you know, when you have an injury, the injury recovers. They have to redilate this artificial vagina every night on a regular basis, or else it's going to heal.
But with her, I'm worried about like her mental well-being and her dilation. The minute she leaves my house, we have a dilation problem.
That is a concern. When you don't have that watchful eye, they tend to go back to old patterns.
I have woken Jazz.
So see, they tend to go back to old patterns. Their children, who they have changed their sex and they have had the surgery on their children, they have the reflex and the very natural reaction to, you know, I'm tired about this whole dilation thing. And so they stop doing it. Of course, that's nature knocking at the door. That's nature telling you, yeah, you better heal this because it's a point of infection, you know? End of the line. Joel says, it's the body screaming, I am injured, let me heal. And these parents are like, no, no, no. We do what the doctor has demanded.
Out of a dead sleep and taken the dilator and put the lubrication on it and said, here, you take this and you put it in your vagina. If not, I will.
Can you imagine this is your relationship with your parent? Your parent is telling you to put a lubricated dildo into your vagina every night. What's the difference between this and child rape? I mean, the difference is the intent. The difference is, well, I wasn't penetrating my child for you know, sexual gratification. I was penetrating my child because it's what the doctor said I should do. So every night the child experiences the penetration of a dildo imposed by her mother because her mother is entertaining a big fear that the injury will patch itself. Why is she afraid of this? Because we've gone through so much. I wouldn't want it to patch back. I wouldn't want it to not be there anymore once they get in college.
But jazz is bad, even when I'm home once a day. I would be so mad if she goes away to college and that thing seals up.
Unbelievable. She would be mad if that thing seals up. I've put too much money on this. I've put too much efforts on this. So you're maintaining your child in a state that their body is telling them, don't do that, let it heal, don't restretch it every time. You are going against what their nature calls them to do because you spend too much money, because you've invested too much emotion into the creation of this vagina. And ultimately, we are stuck with children suffering from the narcissism, the narcissistic desires of their parents. Ariel Suarez says, what did she mean? What return to old patterns? She probably meant something like peace tending or, you know, not caring about the dilation, basically not caring so much about having a vagina anymore. So these parents, these crazy parents, are keeping their children on a line, insisting that they continue and go through with their initial decision, which they might already regret. Unbelievable. It's so dangerous that we let this happen in society. Disney begins 7,000 job cuts after a string of theatrical failures. Disney has finally hit the financial wall after a long string of money, losing theatrical and streaming service failures, with the company committing last month to at least 7,000 job cuts to help cover a $5.5 billion total savings target. The move followed the abrupt replacement of former CEO Bob Chapek and the return of Bob Iger, and has been blamed on macroeconomic headwinds. This was a total failure. Disney has been taken in totally the wrong direction. I'm very happy that these useless employees will be dropped. Jordan Peterson. Someone made an amazing edit of how he's describing on Joe Rogan an experience that we happen to have also on camera, an experience of music. And I love how it's edited because it makes you realize exactly what he has on his mind as he speaks about it. And then we see the actual video corresponding to it.
Man, I went to this bar in Nashville. This band was playing Kelly's Heroes, a great guitarist, best guitarist I've ever seen. And they were playing old country music with a heavy blues rock twist. So they do this great version of Ghost Riders in the Sky. And this brilliant guitarist just goes way out on a limb.
That is just basic rock solo.
And everybody in the crowd, it was so fun to be there. They're just thrilled to death.
Look at Jordan Peterson jamming with his fingers in the air.
Because they're watching this man doing the same thing that surfers do.
Oh, and we start feeling the tears here. The tears are coming.
He's like dancing on the edge of chaos and order.
Now it's becoming weird. Now it's in that creepy line.
In this virtuosic manner. And everyone is so taken by that.
That was just a bunch of people dancing on very regular music.
It just lifts them out of the normality of their existence. You know, these.
Bro, there is nothing more normal than these little bars where losers gather.
See, this joy just transfuse them. And that's because they got an intimation of genuine meaning.
I love this editing part. What is happening in the mind of Jordan Peterson?
Man, I went to the...
You could have a scene like this in a serial killer movie, and it would be perfectly fine. It would be perfectly fit. Stephen Robinson says, the question is, did Jordan get her phone number? I don't know. I don't know if she was a fan or she was with Jordan to begin with. Blanket says, Jeff, I can see why people say he sounds like Kermit. Yeah, but I've not known very much Kermit. So I'm aware of the comparison, but I think I've just seen clips from Kermit. I don't know exactly how he speaks. That Umbrella Guy reports Brittany Venti had her YouTube channel removed. Worse, YouTube struck anti-predator material, calling that exploitation. So basically it is Brittany Venti probably going after something like predation, grooming, that kind of stuff. And of course YouTube, sometimes they take the side... Sometimes they take the side of the groomer, you know, most of the time they do. Meanwhile, Linus Tech Tip, a major YouTube channel, has had their account compromised and then suspended. You know, they had put these scam videos involving fake Elon Musk statements and, you know, OpenAI references, which were... There's so much on YouTube of this crap, like... They start these live streams, they put an image of Elon Musk, they make it look like Elon Musk is talking about something, and then they get donations in the crypto to be redirected toward them. It is so common. It was happening back in my days, and you have 10,000, 20,000 viewers watching live, and it's probably all, you know, bots, most of them. And I can't believe that YouTube hasn't solved this problem. Like, if you're gonna detect Papa JF and any sort of statement I may make about one race or another, how can you not detect the obvious? Like, I don't even need to zoom in to understand the whole thing. It's a fake Elon Musk video with an AI reference in the title, and there's gonna be donation links to crypto stuff in the description. That's the fraud. It's been running for basically 4 years now. And now, of course, the hackers who do that kind of scam, they are looking for prestigious channels that they can take and that they can stream maybe 1 hour before they get stopped. And so they successfully somehow got Linus Tech Tips, which is a great guy. He's a great guy. I don't know much about his politics, but in terms of the tech coverage, he's been doing some good videos. I was watching him back in the days. Linus also admitted to saying the N-word liberally in his younger days. He was probably targeted by Antifa. Okay, I didn't know this. All right. Today, this was my statement on ETH, although I've been talking about it already. Today, I've converted a part of my BTC to ETH. I'd like to enthuse in the joys of the flippening along with my ETH bros. I also did it to purge and put a check on my toxic Bitcoin maximalism. It's a learning process. And there was no more space to add stuff on the tweet, but I wanted to add here, I want to become a better man. I was quite impressed by the speed of transactions of ETH. Okay, so it was not the N-word. People are saying the hard-har was referring to the retarded word. Okay, well, okay. Doesn't matter to me. So yes, ETH, good experience. You know, the pros that I know, the pros that talk to us on the Discord, and if you haven't joined the Discord and you'd like to follow good financial guys, there are great guys on the Discord. Forex Shark very regularly comments, Renting Patriarch, always in the finance section of our Discord. These guys who know what they're doing and they make millions trading, these guys tend to be, when they reveal what they have in terms of assets, they tend to go during a bull run between 10 to 40% ETH. And some other section of BNB and then some other section of BTC. I didn't go 10 to 40% of ETH because I don't know what can happen. There can be a lot of uncertainties and people are discussing the SEC possible cases that could declare ETH as a security. Maybe it's going to happen. Blanket says, Jeff, did you hear Linus got hacked on YouTube? Bro, I covered this 3 minutes ago. So because of the uncertainty, I certainly don't want, because my net value, it's not something I gamble with. It is really what I need to survive for the rest of my life, what I need to provide for my family. And so no question, I don't want to invest this thing on shit coins. And to me, ETH in my heart, although objectively I can see that it's great, in my heart, it's still a shit coin. And so I didn't put 10 to 40% of my value. I've put around 1% of my value into ETH. And that's just to have the feeling. And maybe, you know, next bull run, I may put 4 or 5%. I don't know. But I think that ETH might very well, especially if you were to buy now. If you were to buy now, I think that BTC might give you in this bull run maybe 5 to 6x. If you buy ETH, you probably have a shot at 7 to 8x. That's my impression. So Speaker's Corner says, Jeff, have you ever filed a capital gain on Bitcoin? The problem with gambling during a bull run is that you create all these taxable events. Yes, I always file my capital gains. And let me tell you, it's not a problem. Capital gains tax is so advantageous. I do not have issues with it. I do not mind moving some stuff. In a way, if you move a little bit before a bull run, it allows you actually to take account of certain gains that you have and include them in that year. And then when you make your whole profit on the next year, it's going to be a smaller amount. So there is a strategy by which, and it's also what justifies this movement today. It's the fact that I can see myself making a lot of money in 2024, 2025. And so whatever I can generate in terms of in terms of money of profits in 2023, I will. And it's fine. Cosmic Nut says, how much is ETH? It's been hovering at least, I think, at 1,700 today. So yes, people were asking, Jeff, are you okay? And yes, I'm okay. I was kind of kidding when I said I wanted to purge my Bitcoin maximalism. 1,800 today. 1,800. Okay. Jeff, what's your opinion on DNA tests? Well, I've been careless about them in the sense that I've been using them. Now, I realize more and more that perhaps it's not a good idea to send all of our genes to institutions that are unaccountable, that may share it, or at some point an employee may just steal all this info. And then what? Then perhaps one day they can attack your children. One day they could find a criminal, and it turns out the criminal is your child just because they have your DNA. So I've been thinking about it, and perhaps it's not a good idea to have your genetic information out there. But I don't think there is a big scam. I don't think there is a bad intent here. But, you know, more and more I've been growing into a high security guy with, you know, more and more techniques to control the storage of Bitcoin, for example, security on the land, cameras. And I realized that my genetic security may be an important thing to care about. And perhaps today I will not be as excited at sending my own saliva out there. And I've started noticing a lot of the things that hospitals do, you know, squeeze a drop of blood from each baby, put it on a little, so they will tell you it's a blood test. But I'm thinking, what if someone wants to take that blood, take a cell of this blood, and genetically totally characterize the full genome of my baby? What would keep them? How would we even know? Because we're sending these little papers containing the bloods of our babies, and it's obligatory by the hospital, and they will look at you very bad if you say no. And yet we're sending this through the mail. So we're sending our DNA out there in a way that is attached to our identity, in a way that is attached to our parents, in a way that is attached potentially to our health cards and the whole electronic systems of healthcare. Not a good idea, I think. Speaker's Corner says, my general provider today said they wanted me to take part in a thing called Discover. Yeah, that is so worrying. So Terra founder Do Kwon, reportedly arrested in Montenegro. He is the guy behind the crash of the Luna crypto, the Terra blockchain, the Terra USD stablecoin, a $40 billion implosion of a system that was meant to algorithmically guarantee the stability of their US token, a system that turned out to be relatively easy to attack when the bear market happened and people started selling their reserves of UST, and particularly Binance withdrawing from this market, sending hundreds of millions of dollars of UST onto the market all of a sudden. It led to a depeg of their stablecoin, but their algorithm was so programmed as to protect at all costs the stability of the USD, of the UST. And so what does the algorithm do? My understanding is it started taking from the value of Luna. Somehow it started making operations that would eventually be disadvantageous to Luna, trying to prop up. But basically, I think it minted Luna coins. So basically, the algorithm was designed so if the USD depegs, if it loses its value of $1 that is set algorithmically, mint more Luna. mint more of the coin that is supposed to be like the crypto equivalent, the Bitcoin equivalent of that blockchain. So it started minting infinite Luna. And so we find ourselves with a market filled with new coins. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine that Bitcoin has been used as the basis for the stability of some other crypto, a stable coin out there? And suddenly, if this other stable coin fails, the blockchain of Bitcoin says, okay, there's not 20 million Bitcoin anymore. There's now 20 trillion Bitcoin. And so instead of having 21 million Bitcoin, suddenly you find yourself with trillions of Bitcoin around you. That is the problem. That is the problem of this algorithmic method that led to the full crash of this man's life. He was a South Korean crypto entrepreneur. He had studied in South Korea in computer programming. He had a family. He had then moved to Singapore, which he was denying was for hiding from the authorities. But people were highly suspicious that this was all due to the failure of Luna and to the fact that he was trying to hide from the police. But he was saying that it's because there were investors so pissed at him that he was basically receiving visits at his residential condo. So he brought his family to Singapore and eventually disappeared from the map. Disappeared from the map after in South Korea emitted an international arrest warrant asking the international police to go after him. Did he commit a crime or did he commit fraud as part of all this? The question was raised, and it's possible that that's why the South Korean police wants him. Well, now they got him. They found him in Montenegro. Montenegro is just next to Serbia. It is a small country next to Serbia, west to Bulgaria. And it is very often presented as a place to escape because they don't have an extradition deal with the US. However, let me tell you that it is a place where you can get some privacy if you are a billionaire or millionaire in on the run. But if it gets criminal, it's the kind of country where you will get found. So it's not as protective as, say, Edward Snowden going to Russia. That is more protective because here you have a full opposition to the Western powers. Would that be a safe place that he could have gone to? Perhaps. Perhaps North Korea, perhaps Russia, perhaps some of the very small South American islands around, you know, these islands that don't have much collaborations with the US. Perhaps some places in Asia might have been out of the reach of South Korea. But basically, there are less and less places in the world where you can go to escape Western powers. And at this point, it is very hard. And those places that remain, they will cost you a lot to enter. There will be lots of politics involved in whether they care about protecting you or not. It's too bad because there used to be these safe havens for any sort of problem you may find yourself at with your country, but that exists less and less. And so I don't know if he was with his family in Montenegro, but it is since September that he has been looked for by the South Korean authority. So I guess that between September and now, this gave him 6 months, perhaps to establish a safe place for his family. And perhaps now he's ready to get arrested. In any case, if he wasn't ready, he's now arrested. You know, very often it's all about he had a baby. He had named his daughter Luna. Can you imagine being this girl? Holy shit, you are like, you have been named as a symbol of absolute crypto failure, like from $100 to zero. And when it attained the zero, his algorithmic practice, that's what caused ultimately the final minting. Because when the algorithm saw zero, well, it created a kind of, you know how division by zero creates an infinity? And so if Luna is worth 0.00001 cents, then you have to print a lot of Luna before you can stabilize the stable coin. I love to do a little bit of Jordan Peterson here. I love when man is faced with infinity that way. He has both blessed his descendant line by naming his daughter Luna, and he has also seen infinity and chaos. He has looked at the beast in the eye as his crypto algorithm divided by zero to create 6 trillion Luna. That is what happened. So did he commit fraud? Well, he was extending a lot of the functionalities of the Terra blockchain to basically do what he had done with UST, which is how do we stabilize algorithmically a stable coin rather than, you know, the traditional means of, well, if I give you one USDT, I must have one USD in my bank account to make sure that I can back it. So the algorithmic practice is different, but it has trade-offs and it has weaknesses that will be exploited against you. So as he was extending, his blockchain so that it would be easy for anyone to create those synthetic assets. So synthetic assets are precisely those assets that are stabilized by algorithm and that basically copy an existing stock. And it claims that we're going to be as close to the price of this stock as we can. So that probably alarmed a lot of the people IRL and the normies, because when you start copying the whole of the economy and when you start allowing users to create, oh, here's my copy of Apple and here's my copy of Facebook, and there is an inherently deceptive thing with synthetic assets if they're not properly explained. So that might lead him with some legal trouble. There is also the question of, did he commit as part of this whole crash? Did he commit a couple of things, perhaps securities violation, perhaps misinformed the public? Because a lot of the people who owned Luna are going after him in lawsuits. So was there deceptive marketing used? Was there breaking of securities law, perhaps? The laws are so strict, basically. Most of the crypto world is in violation of securities law, basically. The only reason Bitcoin isn't in trouble is that its owner has disappeared. That's what you have to do in the crypto world, because if you don't disappear, they're going to get at you when they're annoyed at you. And the third thing, there is a claim by employees of the Terra lab that before the crash, he was withdrawing $80 million worth of crypto to his own private wallet. So he may have been part of the crash in the sense that if he was slowly, month after month, just slowly trying to drain it from its reserve, he may have had advanced knowledge that something bad was happening, or he may even have had a causal role in making it happen. In the sense that these reserves not being there anymore to support the algorithmic strengthening of USD, one could argue that the crash may have gone totally different if he hadn't pulled his own. But like, you are the founder of this and you pull your money just before it crashes. It tells me something here. Now, maybe it's false. You know, he has to have his day in court before these allegations are confirmed. But that could be also a reason justifying a prosecution. Doubting Thomas has sent a super chat. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey super chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show. Make sure you add a payment method to your Odyssey to see that button. Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, I'd like your thoughts on this toy conjecture of mine. One reason we evolve the cadence range in which we perceive time and mechanically move is because it matches the range of flow rates of water and thus the speed in which objects, including prey, also moves. That is super interesting. That is super interesting. I've thought about this a lot. Now, not specifically about would that coordinate us with the flow of water, but I've thought about time scales. Time scales, and you know, why do we walk basically one step every 0.5 seconds? Why don't we walk slower or faster? Well, clearly there are some animals that were pressured to walk faster, you know, predators like the leopard. So you can walk faster, but it's impressive how, you know, even a predator that runs the fastest animal on Earth is still pretty much within our order of magnitude, you know. They're not running 1,000 times faster than you. They're walking maybe 4 or 5 times faster than you at best. That is interesting. That is very interesting. And just to give you the range that we're talking about what could have existed and what exists, when I think of tomato plants have a root, they grow. And if you don't attach them to a wire like I do so that they continue growing vertically, they fall. They develop roots where they fell. They grow, they fall. They develop roots where they fell, they grow, they fall. And here's an example of a different life form than us that totally invented walking at a different time scale, totally different time scale. It invented walking at the time scale of basically one step per month. Very important to understand this. So why do we, the question why we walk one step per 0.5 seconds, you have to answer it within this the spectrum of there are some other life forms that have decided to walk one step per month. The tomato plant. So the answer to your question, and of course, it touches perception because our senses, you know, our senses have some latency. They have some degree of accuracy that you cannot expect below a certain latency. Like, I cannot expect your finger to be able to react to a visual flash before, say, 100 milliseconds approximately, the very minimum. And of course, if the signal is more complex, the time reaction is also longer. So that gives us a cadence with which we process the universe. It's a very quick cadence, you know, one processing of information being possible every 100 milliseconds. That is something very, very quick. But at the same time, some of the molecular stuff happening inside of us happens at the millisecond and 5 milliseconds level, you know, in that range. Like the spike of a neuron. The spike of a neuron from the moment of below threshold excitation reach the threshold within 10 milliseconds, you have completed the action potential, you have completed the hyperpolarization phase, and it's ready to fire another one. And in fact, if you look at the neurons in our auditory system, I think that they have super high frequencies. You probably have events being distinguished from each other at the millisecond scale in those particular high-speed neurons. So all of this to say, the time scale at which we evolve action and perception is extremely varied across orders and orders of magnitude, from the plant that walks every month to the neuron that takes a step every millisecond. Now, going back to your super chat, one reason we evolve the cadence range in which we perceive time and mechanically move is because it matches the range of flow rates of water, and thus the speed in which objects, including prey, also moves. Well, water probably has something to do with all of it. But I'm not sure. Your hypothesis would need to be specified. Are we talking about the reason why fish evolve to have this rhythmical movement of their body in a way that fits their water dynamics? Or are we talking about the influence of rivers on terrestrial mammals like humans and monkeys? Because all of this will have consequences. Depending on what we're talking about, I would say that ultimately, the body is trying to evolve toward, as long as it's better, it will evolve in that direction, but given the trade-off of the energy waste. So basically, we evolve to run as fast as would be useful to our survival, but not to the point where the cost in energy to combat the physics of friction and the physics of our environments and the limits of it and the dangers to our own body, as long as those trade-offs don't end up being in the negative in the end. So basically, do as best as you can while not killing yourself and while not burning so much energy that basically you don't have anything left to reproduce. That is basically the general evolutionary role. But I would think that in this view, if you think about terrestrial mammals, it's going to be much less about water and much more about the mechanical constraints of friction within a muscle, you know, a muscle body that has to deal with gravity, basically. So I would say that the relationship is between the size of the body, the gravitational force, and for very small animals that are not super heavy, like mosquitoes, another factor will play a lot, and it is surface resistance. Because flies can walk on the wall, and spiders can float on water because of this whole surface tension type of interaction. And also kind of gluey or grippy type of feet. Because at this weight, this circumstance starts to matter. At your weight or at the weight of an elephant, surface tension isn't that much important most of the time. And so you have gravity, which matters much more in those cases. But yeah, it's very good thinking what you've brought there, and keep thinking about it and keep specifying it. Lendald Guntram says, and they get very quickly tired and need to rest like the remainder of the whole day, even can lose their prey to more resilient/persistent strategies, for instance, employed by hyenas. Yes, there's always a trade-off, and so I have no doubt that those animals that run extremely fast end up not being able to do it as much, as long, and as persistent as other animals. Speaker's Corner says, Jeff, if someone puts a gun to your head and told you you had to choose and live by a mainstream religion until your dying day, which one would you choose? I'd probably choose Christianity. Yeah, I'm not uncomfortable with Christianity. I just don't believe in a God, you know, but no hate toward Christianity. So Martin Shkreli has some comforting words toward Do Kwon.
Hey, Do, I just wanted to let you know, jail's not that bad. It sucks, but it's not the worst thing ever, you know, so don't fret if that, I hope it doesn't happen, but if it does.
What the fuck? Martin Shkreli spent many years in jail. He still looks like a child. He still looks like this high school teenager. And there he is being, acting like a teenager. But if he spent so many years in jail and then so many years in the economic sector of pharmaceuticals, how does he look so young still? I mean, I would expect to see a gray hair, you know, man of wisdom. But no, he looks forever young. He's like Leonardo DiCaprio. Do Kwon arrested in Montenegro, according to the Interior Minister. This article doesn't provide much details. In fact, they say they don't know why. They don't know the final charges against him. Fortune Crypto, Terra founder, Do Kwon, reportedly arrested in Montenegro. This also provides no details at all on what are the charges. Someone published a small essay about testosterone. Someone sent me this. He says, a lot of people wonder why testosterone levels have been decreasing for decades. For instance, my friend Justin Mars asks, why does the average 22-year-old today have the testosterone level of a 67-year-old man from the year 2000? I'd like to advance a thesis. We have less testosterone today because testosterone has been criminalized. Any 22-year-old today who possesses the testosterone of a 67-year-old man from the year 2000 is likely to be in prison. The criminalization of testosterone has been achieved through countless gradual changes, some formal and some informal. It has to be true, in a way. It has to be true. I have some reservations about it. I think that we didn't just criminalize testosterone, because if you want to explain why they are diminishing, well, you have two choices. Either they are diminishing genetically, in the sense that people who had a lot of testosterone back in the days ended up making less babies. And they were replaced by people who make less testosterone. But if you want this, you have to show that your imprisonment system is targeted enough against those people and that it ends up depriving them of reproductive opportunities. Perhaps it does, but I'd like to see the case being made. The second option is that we didn't really evolved a testosterone differential across those years. Rather, what's happening is we were already genetically equipped to lower our testosterone level or increase them according to environment. And it's just that the modern environment stimulates those already existing genes in a way that were not stimulated in the past. So those are the two options. The two options involve some genetics, but it's a different type of genetics. In one case, evolution happens. In another case, it's not really evolution. It's not really natural selection. And what's happening is that we had pre-built response processing of the environment, and we are adjusting to the current world, and the current world is telling us to lower our testosterone. So I don't know which of those two is true. And I think that there's more than the criminal question. I think that we may be oppressive of testosterone having through the feminization of our world. Perhaps the human body detects, oh God, there's all these female teachers in elementary school. They will all tap my hand if I'm too competitive or too violent or too creative. And so I need to adjust to a female world. And perhaps the body says, you know what to do. That's a world that needs less testosterone. This could be true. And it would involve no natural selection processes at all. It would involve merely a social effect onto an already existing evolutionary response of the male body. Blanket says, Jeff, do you think the reason why testosterone is lower today is because of what's in the food? I've said before, I don't know why testosterone is lower. I don't have a take on it. I'm open to explanations. I really like this. I really like the explanation of the social world having changed. But I don't know that it's true. Fleur de Sel says, I blame soy and soyance. Definitely. It has to have something to do with soy. Whether it's actual soy from a farm or the soy lifestyle, it has to be connected to soy in some way. Go Away says, Jeff, should I take testosterone supplements? Not much, but enough to make me as much of a man as a 60-year-old in the year 2000. I have no clue whether you should take this. I would not recommend anything, neither to take it or not to take it, because I'm not very educated on what is to be hoped to gain from testosterone. Certainly, I believe that it's given as part of andropause. So if you have attained those moments in life where you are suffering from andropause, perhaps your doctor will want to give it to you. Valet has an important point. He says, if you take testosterone, your balls will stop producing it. Don't do it. Yeah, so that's what is the case for a lot of the things you can be given or you can take. Generally, don't try to fix what's not broken, definitely. Definitely, you want to consult a doctor and see whether it's justified for you, and really try just to fix something if it is broken. Banks are blocking the exits to Bitcoin. It's happening. NatWest says, to help keep your money safe from possible scams, we're going to set limits on payments we identify as going to cryptocurrency exchanges. We will limit faster payments made to these exchanges to $1,000 per day, $5,000 in any 30-day period. Find out more at Payments Cryptocurrency. It's dramatic when these kinds of limits happen, because there are people who are stuck with money in places. And there are people who have been too successful and they have millions of dollars in a place and they can only pull it out by slices of 1,000 or 5,000. That sucks. But yeah, what can you do about this? The banks will be at war with the crypto world, because the new bank run really is the success of the crypto world. So they're going to do everything they can so that the energy of the economy doesn't get driven toward crypto and Bitcoin. Because if it gets that way, it leads to a loss of the value of their dollars. Operation Choke Point, says Speaker's Corner. But it's always been like this. I've always had accounts blocked, transfers blocked, when they detect that it's going to to Bitcoin. But there's always been an out up to now. There's always been you call your bank and you say, no, I consent to this transfer, and they just put obstacles in your way. So you have to combat those obstacles and hope they don't get too big. Congratulations to Richard Hart for putting together the Pulse Chain Network. I tested it and all seems operational. It will be exciting to see what develops on there. Current version is the last test. Mainnet expected to launch anytime soon. So I've tested, believe it or not, I've connected my MetaMask to Richard Hart's testnet pulse chain. I wanted to have the experience of a chain in development, of a chain that is being born. I've had fun. It was great. I think they've put together something really great. I've been browsing through their Explorer. They will have a decentralized exchange. I have seen it. I have tried their options to sell coins, send coins, to put coins in liquidity farm. I will not do any of those things, but I wanted to do it on the testnet. And now their testnet V3, they say, is their final test. So the next thing that they will release is mainnet. Speaker's Corner says, Jeff, it's been anytime soon for like 18 months. Yeah, and you know what? It doesn't matter. Here's a guy who has developed something. Give him his chance. He didn't give up. He continued until it was working. And now it's definitely working. I tried all of the options that you would expect from a blockchain, and it's working great. So credit to him, credit to Richard. And I could see even my sacrificed coins. They were on there. So right now you can connect your MetaMask to this RPC URL, and you will see the amount of Pulse tokens that were given to you if you've been involved in the sacrifice. Now, will this be adopted? I hope the best possible for this chain, because I have some of the coins for it. But I don't know. You know, there's a lot of competition. Do we really? How is this different from BSC? That is one of the questions that came to mind. How is a low fee chain that is a copy of ETH, how does it differ from BSC, and how does it end up getting equivalent interest as BSC? I don't know. We'll see what has to happen, and we'll see what happens with it. But I have no issue wishing the best of luck for this Pulse chain. Happening now, Florida's House Healthcare Regulation Committee will hear HB 1421. It is among the worst anti-trans bills heard. It bans care for trans youth, forces detransition. It bans private insurance coverage for trans adults. It attacks adult healthcare. Societies have decided to converge toward different solutions to gender dysphoria. In Florida, definitely, that doesn't seem to be interested at following the leftist dogma on this and following medical approaches that are not supported by facts, that are speculative, that are very often based on ideological research that was designed to find a result. So it's perfectly fine for Florida to pursue their own solution. And in a country where I have leftists telling me to get a vaccine, to wear a mask, I'm sorry, but in those states that right-wingers control, they will tell you, okay, you can tell me what I do in New York, I can tell you what you do in Florida. And it's going to be no abortion and no trans surgery for children and no insurance coverage for this stuff. Because ultimately, the states that allow this coverage from insurance, the problem is they will attract people who need a lot of healthcare. They need a lot, you know, they cost a lot to the insurance companies. So ultimately, it's the collectivity that ends up paying those surgeries when they are allowed to be added to the general care of a given insurance company. Charges against Rick and Morty co-creator are dropped. Justin Roiland declares justice. So apparently it was a bunch of false allegations of domestic violence. Not surprised. That's always what it is. Mathematicians discover shape that can tile a wall and never repeat. They call those aperiodic tiling. Very interesting. Very interesting to think of shapes that are always embedded in a slightly different way. But I was thinking, how can it truly be aperiodic tiling? At some point, isn't there a moment at which the pattern repeats? Maybe not. But I think you can easily imagine how at some point there's going to be a limited number of various ways to embed these puzzle pieces. And I would expect that then the pattern would repeat in some form. Blanket says, Jeff, do you think Canada will ever be like Florida? It seems like Canada always keeps getting worse. Yeah, Canada is a country of contradiction, you know. It's never going to be like Florida, openly Republican. But Canada leaves a lot of space for people to build their communities far from cities where you can be left alone. So that is something that you may not have in many Republican places. You know, Florida, when Florida gets populated by leftists, it's becoming a leftist state. And there's nothing they will be able to do about it, just like Texas. Texas is about to become a very democratic state, let me tell you, because you have all of this migration from California, people fleeing the leftism of California. They head toward Texas, but they are not reformed leftists who have learned their lesson. They will just bring some of the hipsterism and eventually they will turn Texas. And on top of it, you have the immigration coming from the southern border. They're going to turn Texas into a Democrat place. All right, so a quick review of the rest of the news before I close the show. Vice News, we asked Twitter about hosting anti-Semitism. It responded with a poop emoji. Anti-Semitic tweets have more than doubled since Elon Musk took over the platform. A new study found its automated response wasn't a good look. That's why I love I loved it. I announced it when Elon Musk announced that he would respond to all emails to press@twitter.com. He would respond to all emails with a poop emoji because that is exactly the kind of hilarious moment I was expecting. But at this point, if you are sending such emails, you know what you're going to get. Elon Musk has made it public. You're going to get a poop emoji when you write to press@twitter.com. So good for him. I love that Elon Musk doesn't care anymore. Violence committed against a young English boy. So much of this racial hatred that we see here in the UK. And I don't want to show too much because it is the torture of a young boy. This keeps happening every day. It has to stop. One of the ways you can stop it for yourself is flee society, get into a safe place far from civilization. But there are people who can't run. And we should be able to find a solution for these people. I was sending a tweet to Zuby because Zuby was saying, they polled all 1 billion black people. I missed that. Honestly amazed by how ignorant and gullible some people are. This is what I mean when I say low-resolution worldview. So see, Zuby has difficulty believing that 53% of black people hate white people. my poor Zuby, I'm afraid that, you know, depending on the question you ask, you're going to get different percentages. But I'm afraid, Zuby, that it is not abusive at all. It is not surprising at all to me to say that, yeah, roughly half of the black population is racist. And it's not just this survey. We've been collecting data on this forever. And the black community has more events of racial hatred than any other community in the U.S. And so, and the levels at which they will answer, yes, I'm racist, is much higher than whites, much higher than Asian, across multiple studies asking it in multiple different ways. So I was saying to Zuby, come on, Zuby, don't let your wishful thinking hide the truth from you. Polls don't need to be made on every single person to have validity. There is an anti-white hate problem in the black community. No, it's not all blacks, but those are still valid data points. And some people were answering to me completely invalid stuff. Someone was saying, can we say it's not valid for global blacks, but it is valid for blacks in the United States? That makes far more sense. The current U.S. culture is radicalizing blacks to violence and hate. This guy doesn't seem to understand that it's not in a country that is African, and that is in Africa, and you have 100% of the people there black, you're not going to see events of anti-white hatred. But that doesn't mean that there is no anti-white hatred there. Just take one white person, put them on the street on one night, and you're going to have the answer. I'm not giving them much of a chance to not be assaulted, to not be targeted, to not be yelled at, to not be scared, to not potentially be raped and killed. So it is not because when a country becomes fully black, you're not going to have a single event of anti-white hatred or anti-white crimes being committed. That doesn't mean the hate isn't there. Precisely, it is this constant pushing of the white population, this constant exposition to higher crime risk and higher this and higher that makes this process by which areas in the U.S. become racially homogeneous. It's white flight, as we call it often. So, no, don't think that Africa is the paradise of love for white people, because it's simply their absence that leads to an absence of hate, and the hate would show itself if you were to run the experiment properly. People were laughing their ass off at how this woman changed the world. The guy says, ever since this woman popped off, cooking discourse has never been the same. No black person is going to be able to talk about white people food being bland without getting a compilation of black people eating cornstarch and chicken washing. Probably their biggest L since buck breaking. She did change the world. She changed the world, and she did it probably without any racial intent, but somehow the events unfolded around her and became racial in nature. And our attention was brought to various practices of cuisine that I didn't know existed. And finally, as a last news item before we close the show, look at how these policemen in France, they use the anonymity of the crowd, of the fact that they're surrounded by a lot of police, to give very vicious head knocks. You can totally see this guy is using the fact that he's walking as an excuse to totally stomp on the head of a protester. this guy right here, and he just give his, look at how he stomps on the head of the protester. He knows what he's doing. Let me play it again, okay? Pay attention to this guy. He looks at the protester. He knows he's surrounded by police, so he has an opportunity to... Oh, I will remove myself here. He has an opportunity to give his stomp, and he knows what he's doing. Look at this. He's going to do it very intentionally. That was not an attempt at avoiding an ad. That was an intentional stomping over a French citizen's head. Absolutely dangerous. And unfortunately, it is the result when you have these crowds. People benefit from the anonymity of it, from being masked, and they act like assholes. That is it for tonight. Much love, and I will see you all tomorrow. Thank you.